We're glad that you're here with us this morning, and we begin a brand new series. I always like to begin brand new stuff and begin brand new ideas, and the blank check up here in the background is a prop, a visual for you and I to see and understand that that's kind of what we're going to be talking about over the next 3 weeks, that God desires that we give to him a blank check in our lives, that God desires that we give him control and access and authority to all of the resources and all of the time and all of the money and all of the everything that we have. In all creation, I sing, you are my everything. And I hope that that's something that you really, really mean. And if it's not, then I'm glad you're here, because that's where we want to assist and be a part of the process where God takes you to where you are, to where he wants you to be. And I know that is where he wants you to be. Now, most of us use checks. Most of us write them, probably in 20 or 30 years. That won't be the case. But right now, anyway, most of us use checks. We have checkbooks and we write checks. But I'm pretty sure that it's true for most of us that we have written very few blank checks. The idea of signing that check and then giving it over to somebody else for them to date and for them to fill out and for them to put in whatever amount they want is something that you probably don't do a whole lot in your life. Here's a picture of a blank check, and this is the idea, that it's payable to our Heavenly Father. But most of us probably don't write too many of these in relation to other people, and there are some very practical reasons why you don't write blank checks, why you don't give blank checks to businesses or individuals for the most part. And one of the reasons that I think kind of encapsulates all of this is that we don't like to give blank checks because we like to keep full control. And so when we give a blank check, we're giving away the control over all of the issues that surround that check. When I write a check, I get to date the check, which lets people know when it's going to be valid or when it's going to be honored. I get to write who I want the check to be made payable to. And most importantly, probably, I get to write the amount on the check that I want the check to stand for or to represent, the amount of money that you can take out of my account if I give you that check. But if it's a blank check, if I give you that check and I just sign it and I give it to you, then I have lost control, right? Now it's with the date that you want to put on the check, you get to put on the check. Whatever you want to write the check to, or who you want to write the check to, perhaps yourself, you get to put that on there, and you get to fill in the amount. And so all of the I's that I had, all the I amount that I could control and all of that, now I give over to someone else. Now it's not about me, really. Now it's about you. It's about the person who has that check. They get to fill in all of those important amounts. Now, I don't recommend giving out a lot of blank checks, all right? I'm pretty sure most of you probably don't do that. I don't recommend that as a regular basis, but there is one that I do recommend that you give them to, and the only one equipped for blank check authority in your life is really God. God is equipped for blank check authority, the blank check responsibility, where we would say to God, God, I offer you everything that I have for you to fill out and for you to withdraw, for you to deposit on any time that you want and in any way or in any account that you would like to do that. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, or if you're new to Buffalo Valley, I'm not asking you to write a blank check to me. I'm not asking you to write a blank check to the church. I'm not asking you to write any checks to the church. I'm not asking for that. That's not where we're going here. But I do want you to consider that if God is real, is he worthy of that kind of authority in your life? And I want to take you to a place where you'll see from the scripture and perhaps from God working in your life that he really is worthy of you and I giving him that kind of authority, that kind of privilege, that kind of responsibility in each of our lives. Now, you might want to think to yourself, you know, does God really want blank check authority? I mean, does God really want that in my life? There are a lot of different conceptions about God. Some of them are misconceptions about God, that God is not really all that interested in your life, or that God is not really all that interested in the lives of people. He just sort of sits up there somewhere in heaven and kind of superintends things and oversees things, but he's not really interested in ways of being involved in the day-to-day aspects of our lives. So some people, we bring him into the meal process. You know, we pray over the meal. We bring him in. We think maybe he's interested in that part. So that's one aspect of our lives that we might bring him into. Or if you might find yourself on a plane and you're in a lot of turbulence, you might decide, you know what, I think God really needs to be involved right now in my life. And so I think this woman is probably praying and bringing God into her life or into the picture of her life at this particular point in time. Or you might call on his name if you strike your thumb with a hammer. Some people then decide that that's a good time to call on the name of the Lord. And I'm not sure exactly what they're hoping for in that particular situation, but they bring him into their life as they call upon his name. Probably not in praise, but they're calling upon his name anyway at that particular time. But he wants to be involved in more ways than that. So the answer to the question, does God really want blank check authority? The answer is yes. He really does. He really wants you and I, followers of Jesus, to give him this kind of control, this kind of surrender in our lives. And those of you who have not yet made that kind of commitment or made that kind of trek into this idea of blank check authority, what I want to help you see over the next 3 weeks is that that is the best thing for you to do. I really don't advocate you giving blank checks to other people, but I advocate you giving those checks to God and giving that opportunity and that authority to him. I could probably read hundreds and hundreds of scriptures this morning, but let me just give you one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." All your being, all your essence. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's kind of like writing him a blank check, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, bring him into your life, and he will direct your paths. So trust the Lord with all your heart. And then in the Gospels, in Matthew, when Jesus was simply asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? What's all of these commands, and boil them all down for us, Jesus? What's the greatest one? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So God wants it all. God wants blank check authority in all of our lives. And from the beginning, the Old Testament, all the way through to the book of Revelation, we see this repeated over and over and over again. Now, if you think about it, the idea that the fact of God's control, here's the slide I'll just put up here, the fact of God's control and authority over your life is really a matter of perspective. I mean, some of you are here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I don't really give God very much control. Or if we were to really know what was the case in your life, you would think, I don't really give God that much control. I don't really give him control over my time. I don't really give him control over my money. I don't really think about him that much. I bring him into the meal thing, and if I'm in an airplane, I don't really give him. But really, honestly, if God is God, as he's revealed in the scripture, your decision or my decision to sort of see him as a controlling authority is simply a matter of perspective. And it's kind of like if you're a mom or if you're a dad, and we've got a little picture here of a mom with it. Let's suppose that this mom is it's bedtime. All right, it's bedtime. It's time to go to bed. And this little boy has been playing with a toy. And it's time for the boy to give the toy to mom and go to bed. All right, mom really has authority and control of the situation. But the little boy thinks that he does. Really? He really does. I mean, if you may have children this age, and you know that it's time for you to give up the toy, Junior. It's time for you to go to bed. And Junior says, no, I don't want to give up the toy, or I don't want to give up the iPad, or I don't want to give up the whatever it is that they have. Now, who really has authority and who really has control in this situation? Mom does. Mom can take the toy anytime she wants. She can take the toy. She can break the toy. She can do whatever it is that she wants to do with the toy. Little boy, he doesn't have that kind of authority. He doesn't have that kind of control. But when we're parents and we're raising children, whether they be young or whether they get older, what we want them to do is to understand that they can yield that control to us, or that they desire to give us that kind of control, that when we say it's time to go to bed, that they would desire to submit to our authority. Now, we can put them to bed if we want to. We can pick them up and put them into bed, and they get out, and we put them back in, they get out, and we put them back in, and maybe you've got one of those memories in your mind. But ultimately, that two-year-old really isn't in control of anything. But he thinks he is. And the mom really is in control of everything. But she wants her two-year-old to come to a place where he recognizes that authority and submits to that authority. And that's really the way it is with us and God. God is the creator and sustainer of the universe. God is in control of everything that happens in the world around us. If you say, you know what, I don't want to yield control of any aspect of my life to God. If God wants to take something from you, he can do that. He could do that. He could take whatever he wants from you. He can add whatever he wants to your life. He can take whatever he wants from your life. He can do all of that thing. If he wanted your money, he could take your money. He could rearrange the bank account things and rearrange memories, and so nobody would really know. And all of a sudden, you have $3,000 less than you had before, and nobody even knows. He could do whatever he wanted to do. You know, if he wants to take your time, he could take your time. You know, you want to read your Bible this morning? All right, you wanted to get to work quickly? Okay, flat tire, here we go. Boop, there you go. Yeah, that'll teach you. And unfortunately, some people sort of have that perception of God, and maybe you've grown up with that perception or know someone who feels that way, kind of like God is just waiting up there to smack us if we do something wrong. But God doesn't do that. If you get a flat tire on your way to work, it's probably not related in any way, shape, or form to what spiritual devotion you had that morning before you went in. It's probably just related to the fact that you ran over a nail. Okay? You may have ran over the nail even if you had a wonderful time of prayer and devotion to the Lord that morning. But it's a matter of perspective, because God is in control. God does have authority of our lives, but God wants us to submit that to him. So from God's perspective, your desire to give him blank check authority is very important, just like it is from a parent to a child. Our desire to say, yes, God, you are the one who is in control. Sorry, I'm having trouble getting this thing to stay in the right spot. My desire to give you control is what really, really is important. And the underlying assumption in that is this. God desires this kind of authority because he knows that it is best for us. You see, when you're 2 or 3 years old, you don't really understand that a regular bedtime is what's best for you. You don't understand that. But the mom does. The dad does. When you're 15, you don't really understand that a regular bedtime is good for you, but it really is. And so when mom wants to take the toy away, when mom takes the iPad or shuts down the internet or whatever the case may be, it's really because she wants to do something that is best for you. And so we're kind of like that toddler as it relates to God. Many times we don't understand that what God desires for us, and God desires this kind of authority, because he ultimately knows it is what? Best for us. He knows what is best for us. He knows what to do and how to arrange that. And we're going to talk about the area of, we're going to talk about money next week and time the week after that. God doesn't need your money. I mean, come on, he's God. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need your time. He's eternal. Right? He's not, you know, waiting for you or I to give him time so that he can accomplish a task. It has to do with relationship. It has to do with us desiring to see God as knowing what's best for us, putting our lives, putting everything that we have into his hands and saying, God, I understand that you are God and I am not, and I understand that you know what's best for me, and I want to give you a blank check. Now, if you struggle with this, with giving total control to God, you are certainly not alone. You're not the only one in this room who struggles with giving total control to God. We all struggle from time to time, and some of us have made decisions in our lives that, you know what, we're going to do this. We really want to give blank check authority in our lives. Some that might be in the 20s, some might be in the 30s, some might be in the 40s, some might be later. Sometimes there are teens who really, really decide, you know what, I'm 13 years old and I'm going to give the rest of my life to God and blank check authority, and I'm excited when that happens because you are in for the ride of your life. You are in for the most exciting life that God could have for you when you do that. But maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, maybe it's too late for me. Maybe I can't really get total control give total control, or maybe God's not interested because I've kind of held it from him. No. He's interested in it whenever you will give it to him. This next slide says the good news is that we can begin and reopen our account with God whenever we desire. It's never too late. It's never too late to give God blank check authority. It's never too late to decide, you know what, I want to come into that kind of a relationship with God where I realize that everything that I have really belongs to him. And I know that that's best for me. And you can open that account anytime. You can reopen that account. Maybe it's been closed. Maybe that was your life for a period of time and something happened. Maybe you lost your faith in the fact that God really knows what's best for you because of a situation or a circumstance. What God is doing is calling you back and saying, you know what, it's time to reopen the account. It's time to give me that kind of authority. Give me, God's saying, not me personally, but give God that kind of aspect in your life. So I want you to spend about 15 seconds thinking about this right now. What kind of authority does he have? What kind of authority does he have? And I can pretty much tell you what kind of authority he has by looking at your checkbook and your calendar. Because, again, we'll talk more about these over the next 2 weeks, but those are the two most really important commodities that we have, that we trade with in our lives. How important is he? Does he have blank check authority in your life? If he does, I encourage you to continue. If he doesn't, I encourage you to begin. Maybe to open the account. Maybe it's time to reopen the account to see God as worthy of that kind of control, that kind of authority in your life. And so that's where we're going to start. If you flip over to the backside of your notes, I promise you that was not the introduction, but we're going to start with this idea of what are some reasons. Why should I do this? And the first one is just simply that God is worthy of blank check responsibility. Now, there's a fairly short list of people in your life that have that kind of responsibility or authority. Very short list of people that you would give a blank check to. For example, I would give a blank check to my wife. Right? I have no problem giving a blank check to my wife. Not planning on doing that anytime soon, but I'm, you know, because you know what, she saw the account, so it really doesn't make any difference, right? She knows where the checks are. So, but you know, her and I would have no problem doing that. And there's other people in my life that I would have no problem doing that. Probably I wouldn't give blank check authority to this guy. All right, this is not the kind of guy that I would probably give it to, or this guy right here. Probably not going to give him that kind of authority in my life. But there are people that I would do that to or with, and it really boils down to the idea of trust. We trust those whom we give blank check authority to. Those are the people that we trust. And if we think about who is worthy of our trust, well, God is the creator and sustainer of the universe. God is not going to be duped or swindled or anything like that. God knows the future. He knows your life. He knows what's going to happen next week and next year and next decade in your life and in your time. He knows all of these things. So he would be worthy of the kind of trust that it takes in our lives to give him blank check authority. It's the kind of makeup that he is. Now, many of you know the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul wrote most of the, at least probably 12 or maybe 13 books of the New Testament, or sometimes maybe 13, maybe 14 books of the New Testament. And so he was a person who came into this idea of blank check authority late in life. Right? The Apostle Paul was someone who we first introduced to him in the scripture. His name is not Paul. His name is Saul. And he is a very devout Jewish man. And he is trying to stamp out this new Christian thing. He's trying to persecute and even bring to death those who are following this guy called Jesus, whom he's read about or seen or heard but hasn't seen and doesn't believe that he was truly resurrected. He doesn't believe that. And on the road to Damascus one day, Jesus appears to him and Saul becomes Paul and becomes a follower of Jesus. And Paul is a man who gave Jesus blank check authority in his life. Paul is a man who said, okay, whatever it is that I have to offer, I give it all to you. And near the very end of his life, he writes a letter to a man named Timothy, and we have it in the Bible. It's preserved for us, and it's called 2 Timothy. And I want to read some words that he says from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering," and that's just a metaphor, an expression for the fact that his life is about over, but he has given his life as an offering to the Lord. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6-8. See, Paul recognizes that God was worthy of the blank check. And so he's looking back on his life, don't know exactly how many years, maybe 30, 40 years of following Jesus with this kind of authority. And he says, you know what? I've fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I'm not disappointed. I'm not upset. I don't feel cheated. Now, he's in prison when he's writing this, and he's about to die, not because of old age, but because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And he's still, in spite of all those circumstances, saying, you know what? It's been worth it. It's been great. Timothy, I want you to understand. I want you to live the same way. I want you to give the same kind of authority. We can learn from Paul. We can learn that God is worthy of that kind of of trust. And here at Buffalo Valley, we are committed to helping you see God in this way. Not just me and not just Pastor Matt and Danita, but all of us. Because we're all on different stages of this spectrum. And again, some of us may have opened our accounts at some point and then closed them again. And we've reopened them. Or we're in the process of reopening them. Or whatever the case may be. And so all of us collectively together, as you share your story and as you share your life with others, we're here to help you to see that God is worthy of that kind of trust in your life. God is worthy of that kind of authority, that kind of responsibility in your life. He's worthy of the blank check. Not just a measured response. Not just, okay, well, yeah, in this area, I kind of trust you, but over here, not so much. No, he's worthy of more than that. Now, back to this idea of the mom and the toddler. Blank checks are given out of human desire, not divine demand. God is in control of everything. God can do in your life whatever he wants to do. But most of the time, God waits patiently for us to come to him. God desires that we give him that kind of control. Again, if God wanted, if the mom in the illustration, if she wanted to take the toy, she can take the toy anytime she wants. She doesn't ever have to give the toy back if she doesn't want to. She can just take it and say, you won't give it to me, I'm just going to get rid of it, whatever the case may be. I don't necessarily advocate that as a parenting technique, but she could do whatever she wants. God's the same way. I mean, if he's God, he can do whatever he wants. But he doesn't want to treat us that way. He doesn't want to make this idea of authority a divine demand. Right? He wants to make it a human desire. He wants us to come into a relationship with him to the point where we trust him enough to where we say, okay, God, I will give you this. I will give you access to this area of my life. I will give you authority over my time, over my money, over my relationships, whatever the case may be. God, you take it. And then dispense back to me that which you want me to have. Use my resources, use my time in whatever way in which you want me to have. But it is my desire, it is my my choice to give that kind of authority back to you. God's desire is for us to desire to grant him blank check authority. Have you done that in your life? Now, next week, we're going to look at this particular passage of Scripture in more depth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it has to do with this idea of a group of churches in Macedonia who took up a collection for the church in Jerusalem. And we'll talk more about that next week. But these churches in Macedonia were poor churches. They were not wealthy churches. And yet, out of their generosity, they wanted to contribute to the mother church back in Jerusalem that was undergoing a difficult time, and some Bible scholars think that there was a famine in the area, and of course the church in Jerusalem was being persecuted. So Paul had established this collection for all of the other churches that had come out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was really the mother church in the first century. And so he writes to the Corinthians to encourage them to give, and he cites the ability and the activity of the Macedonian churches. And so here's what he says. He says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability," that's the Macedonian churches, "yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves," what? "To the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." And that "then to us" has to do with the giving, that the money they collected. "But they first gave themselves to the Lord." They first said, "Okay, God, whatever you want in our lives, we'll do." And that's the prerequisite step to being able to joyfully and rightfully giving anything that you have to God, is first give yourself to him. We'll have lots more to talk about that as it relates to next week. But what God wants you to do is give yourself to him. Have you done that? And if you're not giving yourself to him, let me just ask you a question. Who are you giving yourself to? Because you are not captain of your own ship. You are not master of your own fate. And so if we want to turn away from Christ and walk away from Jesus, that means we're walking to someone else. Are you walking to your job? Are you giving your career a blank check in your life? That's going to let you down. Are you giving your health a blank check in your life? That's going to deteriorate. Are you giving some person, control, blank check, a relationship, blank check authority in your life. Many people have done that, and many people have been greatly overdrawn. But never with God. Never, ever, ever with God. All right, my last point is simply this, that writing blank checks is costly but worth it. Writing blank checks is costly but worth it. It's costly. There are times when it's even perhaps painful. There are times when you think that perhaps God is spending your resources in a way that he's making a mistake. He's not, but it is costly because it is difficult for us to walk through that sometimes. And quite honestly, one of the reasons or one of the consequences of this is that many followers of Jesus simply give leftovers to God. They just give whatever's left over, whether it's their time or their money. They've got their own agenda, they've got their own plan, they've got their own purpose, and they take all the resources they need to accomplish that. And then if there's something left over, God, you can have it. And men and women, boys and girls, God is not interested in leftovers. Okay? He started out that whole commandment thing with look, I'm your God. I'm your God, and I want you to only make me your God. I don't want you to serve any other gods before me. Because I am the one. It's customary in our culture, it has been customary for many cultures, for many years, for a man, if he wishes to marry someone, to go to the father of his fiance or his girlfriend and ask permission for her hand in marriage. Okay, that's been customary throughout the years and is still practiced today in many ways. And there's a guy named Adoniram Judson. Anybody know who Adoniram Judson is? That ring a bell? Some of you do. Some of you know who Adoniram Judson is. Here's a picture of Adoniram Judson, and this is his wife, Anne. And Adoniram understood this idea of blank check. And Adoniram Judson was the first Protestant missionary to the nation of India. And I want you to hear the letter that he wrote to Anne's father requesting permission to marry her. All right, now he's ready to go. He knows he's going to India. And listen to what he writes. He says, I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world. Now, I doubt if any of you have asked permission to marry someone that sentence was in there, okay? But remember, this is 1800s, right? This is not hop on an airplane and come back and visit. All right, this is months of travel across. So many times when missionaries went to places like India, they never returned. They never came home. And so he says, I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean. To the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Now, at this point, Anne's father is probably thinking Anne's mother ain't going to see this letter. Can you consent? But see, it's costly, right? It's costly. He's asking Anne's father to essentially consent to Anne's willingness to write a blank check for her life. And he's not sugarcoating it. He's painting the reality of what this is going to look like, both for him and for her. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him, referring to God, who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you? For the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of the glory of God. Can you consent to all this in the hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness brightened with the acclamations of praise which shall resound to her Savior from heathens who have been saved through her means from eternal woe and despair? And that's the only portion of the letter that I have, but what do you think about that? You see, it's costly, but it's worth it. Will you consent to all of this in this life, but would you also consent to allowing her to experience blank check authority with God? And Anne's father said yes, And Ann and Adoniram Judson really shook the world for Jesus. Blank check, authority. I promise you that God will never overdraw your account. And I promise you also that there is no way to achieve a better return on investment for the resources, the time and the money that God has given to you than to give that kind of authority back to God. We don't like to give blank checks because we like to keep full control. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're commanded to give a blank check to God. And so anything less than that is really disobedience, and that's not going to be a good thing for you. But God is patient. God is waiting for you to come along the way. Perhaps today can be a beginning of a new step on the path. If you're here this morning and you're not sure who this God is, I want you to be courageous enough to take a step and investigate him. And find out more about him. God is not hidden. God is revealed to you in the scriptures. His qualities, his attributes, his track record is all available for you to check out. Many, many people in this room could testify of God's ability to sustain them and God's ability to work in that concept of being in authority of a blank check of their life. Get it settled. And let's move on. Giving God a blank check. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for I thank you for the example of Adoniram Judson. It's pretty extreme for most of us to think about that, but I'm thankful that that he did that. And I'm sure there are many, many, many who benefited greatly from his ministry. Very few of us will be in that situation, but in the everyday ordinary situations and circumstances of life, you still ask us for that kind of authority. You ask us for that kind of responsibility. May we grant it to you. If we're doing it today, may we continue to grant it to you. And over the next couple of weeks, as we look at what's often the very difficult issues of time and money, may we see that they're really not supposed to be that difficult. And that you are worthy of that kind of authority. So Lord, may you begin something new perhaps. May you continue something you've already begun. May we give you blank check authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.